Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. We've got flat and jumps action this week. We've got Musselburgh up in Scotland hosting some flat action for us, and Haydock up in the north hosting some jump racing action. Who have I got on the panel? If you are watching online, you'd already know, but I've got Johnny Pearson and Robbie Wilders here from the Racing Post. Ed Nicholson will be joining us to give his selection for each race throughout the show. I think he's on his way to Haydock for the Unibet Series final. We'll be covering that race very shortly. But gents, a mixed action card. We've got, like I say, flat and jumps action, Robbie. We had the Lincoln last weekend. It's that weird period between the Lincoln and the National that we're currently in.
Yeah, it's good news for you, mate, isn't it, as you're a flat man through and through. But, well, it's also good news for me because I like both. So there is something for everyone, as we say. And, yeah, there's no real, like, sort of Group 1, Grade 1 sort of thing. But there are a lot of good handicaps to get stuck into.
Absolutely. And Johnny Pearson, looking forward to what should be a good weekend, not just on the ITV card, but we've got action over in Ireland and also internationally that we'll look at later in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be a good weekend all round. Something for everyone. There's some really good racing at both Fairy House and Cork on Saturday. So I'd recommend having a look through those cards separately. But also, we've got the ITV action to get through before we touch on that.
Yeah, and before we get stuck into that, just to mention for next week's podcast, it's going to be on Tuesday at 7 p.m. We know you like the top five bets video. So we've got a top five bets video for the Grand National meeting. Myself, Harry Wilson, Matt Rennie and Ed Nicholson will be back to join that show there, giving our top five bets, including a Grand National selection. So next Tuesday, 7 p.m, do not miss that. Right, we'll get stuck in to the ITV action then, gents. And the first race we look at is the 212 at Haydock, which is the Potemps Network Challenger 2 mile Hurdle Series Final Handicap. This looks competitive like most of the races on the card on ITV, but We're Red and Blue and Dance and Glance are the 7-2 joint favourites with Unibet. Ice in the Veins are 11-2. Mr. McLaughlin 6-1. Bruce Fallis is 17-2. Willie the Builder 9-1. Double figures bar these. Like I say, Johnny, it's going to be competitive action all over the place. Some really, really decent fields on the ITV cards. But who did you like in this one?
Yeah, it is competitive action across the cards. And a lot of the time you're going to see that reflected in the odds on these, which is a good thing. You want to be getting able to find one, make a case, get a bit of value for money, and hopefully they go and win. And my first, you know, first looked at We're Red and Blue, who ran pretty well at Sandown last time behind Mondo Man, got a bit tired late on, but did keep going in the necessity conditions. But I think he has a little bit more to find with Willie the Builder still, who was behind at Kempton in January, it was. Then Willie the Builder subsequently went up to Musselburgh, and so he came fourth last time. They hung a bit to the left in the straight. And then if you look at it in the run and you watch it back, I'm not sure quite which horse it is, but one of the horses comes across him on the run in. Jockey's had to check him back and he's not been able to go through this run. Like, he wouldn't have won the race, but he would have finished closer, probably second or third. Okay, he ran at Cheltenham last time, a bit disappointing, but that was in a race at Cheltenham, a handicap there, higher class than what he's in today on Saturday even. I think 10-1 looks a good value bet here each way. Willie the Builder, really like him. Great chance on form for me.
Yeah, top weight in the 212 there. And Christian Williams tends to find a fair bit of form around this time of the year. So not a bad selection there from Johnny. Robbie, who for you in the Haydock opener?
Hi, Sam. Yes, good race. I'm very interested in the William Hill hurdle form. I know it was, there's only barely any finishers. Tutti Quanti, one of our miles, but it's turning out quite well. The early signs are positive. The second Wellington Arch won next time. The sixth, Reckless Eric, was second in the Imperial Cup. A couple also have pulled up. Bekefalus, who runs in this race, won next time. And so did Letter Ray, won easily next time. I think it's decent form. Dance and Glance was fifth in it. That was by far the toughest surface he's ever encountered. He's a good ground horse, really. Just think he's progressive before that. His form lines with All in You look quite interesting. Wasn't being fought by Alexia Ascot in November. He's only six. I still think he's on a pretty fair mark. And his price looks pretty good to me. So.
Hey, Dance and Glance then. So Dance and Glance for Robbie. Willie the Builder for Johnny Pearson. Let's see who Ed Nicholson fancies in the Haydock opener.
Yeah, some great racing from Haydock. Three series finals of which the Unibet middle distance veteran chase is one. We'll get to that later on in the show. But at the Challenger finals, some interesting contenders and quite an open looking race here for the first of those, the 2 mile hurdle series final. I mean, Dan Skelton and the Skelton team landed a bit of a gamble this week for the Blind Squirrels. I thought their ice in the veins might be worth chancing in this handicap. He's not had many goes in handicaps. I think he's only had 6 runs in his life. Wears a hood. Was a bit keen last time out at Ludlow. Been put down £2 for that run. I think they were just trying to teach him to settle on that occasion. He seemed to come through in his race eventually, but he would need to settle a bit better early on. But he might well be able to do that. The pace might be a little bit stronger than it was for Ludlow. He's come down a couple of pounds for that run. He's no hero of the Skelton team. He'll be one of the lesser lights, but they might have just found a nice opportunity to win a nice pot here. Obviously, the stable are in great form. And ice in the veins, which is a description that some people give to the way that Harry Skelton is riding these days. He seems to wait his last possible moment to produce his horses to great effect. And I think we can give Ice in the Veins and Harry Skelton a chance in the first of the Challenger Series finals at 2.12.
So Ed, with Ice in the Veins there in the 2.12 at Haydock, and a reminder for this race here that Unibet are money back second or third from 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. Do head to unibet.co.uk for all the terms and conditions there. Let's move on then to the 2.46, which is the Potemps Network Challenger Stayers Hurdle Series final handicap. This is again a really competitive race. Blue Carpet's 3-1. Jacques de Moulin 100-30. Ernest Gray 7-1. Walden 15-2. Potter in the Park 17-2 along with Heather Honey 9-1 about Super Survivor. Iron Max 11-1. Secret Tricks 12-1. Bigger the rest. I'll come to you first on this one, Johnny Pearson. It's an interesting one because Skeltons are having a strong end to the season, as they always tend to do. It kind of shows in the Scottish National entries that Willie Mullins has kind of given up hope a little bit in terms of the fact of the British trainers title, and they have the favourite here in Blue Carpet. What did you make of this?
Yeah, again, if I sat here and said I've got a strong opinion on the race, I would very much be a liar. It looks a good race. Skelton looks to have a good chance. Paul Nicholls, interestingly, it's hard to know how his horse is going to run, I find, at the minute. So, although he's got the favourite here, I wouldn't necessarily be wanting to go steaming into that or anything. And it's a race I'm very happy to actually sit on sidelines and watch. There's a lot of winning form going to, or placed form from last run or 2 runs ago. And it's not a race I want to have betting.
No, completely understandable. Robbie Wilder's for you in this one. Did you have a fancy?
Yeah, quite a lot. Walden, actually, for Tom Lacey, a trainer like. He's not been in the best of form. He keeps cropping up in our cold list on the Edge email. But I still rate him as a trainer, to be fair. He's going to turn it around soon. And a couple have been running all right lately. Yeah, Walden won really well, I thought. As a big field, 18-runner handicap hurdle at Ascot on Valentine's Day. I won that by 6.5 lengths. Going away at the line over 2 miles, 7.5 furlongs. Unexposed over staying trips. He saw out of distance really well at Ascot. Got another furlong at Haydock. I think he's going to relish that long straight. He has got the pedigree to thrive over staying trips. He's only 6, and I'd like to think there's a little bit more to come.
And that's Walden for Robbie Wilders then. And Unibet super boosting in this race as well from 9 a.m. on Saturday. Their flagship offer, the super boost here for Unibet. And Ed Nixon is a big fan in this race of Ernest Gray. Let's hear what he had to say about the horse for the 2.46.
Yeah, the second of the two Challenger Series finals is being run at 2.46. We go a super boost in this particular contest. It looks a really tricky affair. Any number of horses have a chance, in my opinion. My eye was, though, drawn to one of Alan King's horses, and that's Ernest Gray. Alan King's in tremendous form. You look at his rating, his runners to form rating in the Racing Post, it's over 70%. And that's backed up by his winners over the last 14 days. He's had 4 winners and further 4 horses placed. So he's probably in the, I'd say, the best form of the season. And this horse, we haven't seen him this calendar year, which might be a concern, but I noticed he does run well fresh. 3 of his 6 career wins have been when he's had at least 50 days off the course, and he runs today with over 100 days off the course. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that with the Alan King horses in really good form. But it is a difficult race, and it's a race where you could make a case for many. So that super boost will come in handy from Unibet. But yeah, let's go for Ernest Gray to get back to winning ways.
Moving on then to the 3:20 at Haydock. This is the Unibet Middle Distance Veterans Handicap Chase. This is the series final of that race, the third year of sponsorship for Unibet here. Like I say, I imagine Ed is on his way up there for the 2.5 mile contest at Haydock. And Genoir for JP McManus and the John Joe O'Neill team, 11-2 favourite currently. Philanders 13-2, Guard Your Dreams 7-1, Fugitive 8-1 along with Outlaw Peter, 17-2 about Lamilos, Cortland 9-1. And 10-1 bar these. These veteran races are always good fun. They're a great watch, and you see some of the legends of the game jumping these fences, especially at Haydock, where it can be extremely testing. But Robbie Wilders, what do you make of these veterans races, and have you got a strong fancy?
I love them, mate. I love them, and I love Unibet for sponsoring them. It's a great initiative, and this is one of my most confident fancies in a long, long time. And he opened up at 40-1. I don't know what he's priced up at with Unibet now, but I know he's. I'm looking at the Racing Post sort of odds comparison section on the card, and he looks like the horse has come in. But stop waffling, Rob. The horse is Lord Baddersley, trained by Anthony Honeyball. Honeyball is really likes to target these veterans races. He has a pretty good record in them. Lord Baddersley is getting the nod to run in this one. Thought it was interesting. Sam Twiston Davis has booked. He could have ridden Guard Your Dreams for his dad. He's riding Lord Baddersley. Sort of the reason he's such a big price is his last three runs haven't been his best form, but I've found pretty good reasons for that. At Ascot, he kept jumping out to his left. That's not ideal at a right-handed track, as we know. Then he ran at Newbury. He was sick that day. He was in, put the blinkers, didn't really take to him, but the form's worked out really well. The four of the first five are rated a good bit higher now, and the eighth was Walking on Air, who ran really well in the Great Yorkshire Chase. On his next start, Warwick in February, heavy ground, held up at the back. He's never been a heavy ground horse. He's come down the handicap a bit from his really impressive seasonal return at Newbury. Won by 18 lengths there on good ground. He wants good ground on a flat track. He's going to get that 2.5 miles. Honeyball's mustard at keeping these older boys sweet. And I just think this could be the day he's been aimed at. He's coming off a 2-month break. He's good fresh. I think there's so much in his favour. And yeah, I'm very sweet on him. You're going to get at least 20-1, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. Unibet, just having a look at their website, Rob, is talking 33-1s into 25s currently. But
I think 25s, that's still nice, Sam.
There's going to be more support, I can imagine, after people hearing this. But a really strong fancy from Robbie there in the veterans final there for the Unibet race. Johnny Pearson, it's an interesting one because JP McManus have a horse at the top of the market. Imagine Saturday next week, he could have about three at the top of the market for the big one, the National. What were the fancies here?
Well, the fancy, I can see the case Robbie's made, and I think there's a lot of valid points in there. I can see him running well, absolutely. But I'm going to go with 12-year-old Numitor for Heather Main and Richie McLernan. Typically runs well when he's sort of after a break. He had a break, ran well at Exeter last 12 months ago, won at Ascot for following a break. But it's down £4. He's had his wind up, second run after that. If he gets his way from the front, he could be very difficult to beat. And I think I was looking to, is there a 10-year-old that really catches my eye here that might be one that's actually got a bit more on the older horses? And there wasn't one that was standing out miles. And although Numitor was fourth behind Genoir last time, I can very much see the tables being turned there. And we're going to hope that happens.
Okay, yeah, Numitor there for Johnny Pearson, 12-1 currently with Unibet. And there is extra places on this race as well. So both of those selections there at big prices, worth taking advantage of those extra places. And like I say, Unibet sponsoring this race for the third year. Ed Nicholson, I imagine, is on his way up there now. Let's hear what he had to say on the race and his selection, which I believe is quite a strong fancy.
Yeah, finally, the big one has arrived, the third annual Unibet Middle Distance Veterans Chase Final. I must say, I'm absolutely delighted that 17 horses have stood their ground. As you know, we've run this series since November to March. There are a number of qualifiers, seven qualifiers this year. And this is the £100,000 final, 51,000 plus to the winner. And it usually goes to a good stable, a stable that maybe not getting the plaudits that they deserve. And the last 2 years winners of this series both take their chance. Numitor and the Flyer Begley. The Flyer Begley from Gary Hamner's stable has always had this race as his Gold Cup, even when we went down to the stable many months ago. So I'd imagine that second over hurdles last time out would have been a pleasing performance, and he's not that far away on ratings from what he ran in this race with him before. He also won, I think, a pound lower over at Market Raisin. So on handicap ratings, he should be okay. He's now 11. He's a year old. Obviously, every horse is 10, 11 or 12 in this race. And the 10-year-olds do have a really good record. They've won the last two races, and the horse has been rated 125 and 129. Numitor would have a great chance if he's not too sticky. He doesn't like jumping out sticky ground, but he was so impressive a couple of years ago. But I must admit, my eye was drawn to Philanderer, who comes from Huey Morrison's stable. Huey's had 18 winners on the flat at Haydock. He's had one winner over hurdles from five runners at Haydock. He's never had a chase runner. Obviously not had a winner there, but Philanderer looks a decent sort for this type of race. Fits the kind of idea of where the winner should come from. Look at the last 2 years. He's a 10-year-old. He's rated 129. And his last run actually was at the Cheltenham Festival in the Ultima Johnny Hughes race. And if you look at the video, he was in fourth place until the 17th over 3 miles. He made a mistake that day. That was his first mistake. And he was a big price. This 2.5 will be perfect. He's won on all sorts of ground, from good to heavy, so I wouldn't be worried about that. Huey Morrison is a target trainer. He would have definitely targeted this horse for the race. He won the qualifier at Market Raisin back in January. I am quite strong that the Philanderer will run a very big race at what is a fair odds. We are going extra place, as I say, 17 runners at time of recording. So it's fantastic that this third year of the Unibet Middle Distance Veteran Series have been really well supported, and I'm really looking forward to the day.
The final race that ITV are showing from Haydock, is very surprised they are showing this, is a 0-110 handicap chase. It's a 2.5 mile race at 3:55 there. Court Adamar is 11-4. Imperial Bede 3-1. Bonza Boy 7-2. Heads or Harps 9-2. 15-2 about I Shut That Door. Victoria Milano 16-1. Royal D-side 18-1. Like I say, it's a bit of an interesting one that even ITV have got this. They could end with that Unibet Series final at Haydock quite happily, but they're showing this race here. There's four horses at the top of the market that you wouldn't be surprised if either of these went and won this race. We spoke off air. Robbie hasn't got a selection for this one. I don't actually think Ed Nicholson's got a fancy for this one either. It'll be interesting to hear what Johnny Pearson has to say on it.
I thought it was interesting that the John Joe and AJ O'Neill trained horse has Richie McLernan on, albeit being a JP McManus runner. And John Joe O'Neill Jr. was on the Oliver Greenall and Josh Guerrero horse. But I wouldn't read, as I say, it's JP McManus factor maybe, I wouldn't read too much into it. But Imperial Beard was rated an awful, well, a fair bit higher, less than 2 years ago? It was a 120 plus horse. He's now down to a mark of 106. He won well at Catterick in February, disappointed last time when a very short price, but I put a line through that. That ultimately, he's got enough form in the book to be good enough to be winning a race of this level, and you'd be disappointed if he's not able to bounce back after that disappointing run at Hereford last time.
Okay, JP McManus winner on the card at Haydock for Johnny Pearson then. Yeah, interesting to see whether he can repeat that next Saturday, JP McManus, with that massive selection of horses he has in the Grand National with a chance. So intrigued to see that. Like I say, remember next Tuesday, 7 p.m. for that postcast there. No selection for Ed either in this race. So we're going to be back shortly after this promotion of our new product, The Edge.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions, percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not, overnight market moves, eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders, and the occasional appearance from Ed Nicholson, taking you through the ITV action this Saturday. And yeah, like I say, if you haven't checked out The Edge, do so. It's down in the description. Right, we move over to Musselburgh. We move up to Musselburgh now in Scotland. This is always a great meeting to attend, I've been told. I've never actually been to Musselburgh. A lot of people tell me it's a lovely day to attend in the spring. So let's see if we can find some winners for any who are attending, guys. And the 125 is where we start off first, which is the Royal Mile Handicap. It's over a mile. Obviously, it's a class three event. And Cosmic Hero is the 5-2 favourite. Vincenzo Perugia is 11-4, along with Strength of Spirit. Utmost Good Faith, 13-2. Kanishka is 17-2. And Monoceros is 9-1. Boarding's having some runner things at the moment, Robbie Wilders. A 28% strike rate from 29 runners at the time of recording. They often go well at this time of the year, the boarding horses. They're probably hoping for a good day on Good Friday at Newcastle as well. But I believe you're going to be taking on the Fav.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's not really done anything to merit a rating of 78, I don't think. A pretty workmanlike winner at 1-2. Last time. He's never run an RPR above 73. He's in off open market 78. I don't know. I thought they were more interesting ones. This race actually cut up quite a bit. I was looking at the start of the week. I thought that looks a really hot race. I'm not so sure now. Mainly Northern Yards, but I'm going to take the other more southern operation. George Bowie, Utmost Good Faith. Won his first two starts of Bowie on the all weather really impressively, I thought. And then Bowie's put him in a conditions race. That's not a normal conditions race by any stretch, because Notable Speech won it two seasons ago before winning the Guineas. Opera Ballo won it for Charlie Appleby last year before going on and doing good things. The horse Hidden Force, he's got a Guineas entry, won it quite impressively. The second also has a Guineas entry. Utmost Good Faith wasn't beaten far by those horses in fourth place. And even the third, Tadej, he's rated 103. His marks to stay the same of 89. I thought that was quite interesting. Back in a handicap, Hector Crouch on board. I just don't think the sort of prices Unibet are quoting are going to last.
Okay. Yeah, Utmost Good Faith. And I'm a massive fan of Hector Crouch as a jockey as well, and the George Bowie team, to be honest. And Johnny Pearson, I think you share a similar opinion to Robbie.
I share an incredibly similar opinion to Robbie, which I'd normally be concerned about, but I'm okay with it in this situation. And yeah, as I said, that race at Kempton last time, 1-4 favourite for Godolphin, Guineas entry, very good. Tadej finished third. It's a good horse and proved himself a decent 2-year-old. Stayed on 18-9, and that is arguably his best performance he's put in. Like the fact that the handicapper could have raised him quite comfortably for that run, he's left him alone. So I think he looks massive. You know, you've got the Ammo racing horse in there. He got bumped about a bit at Goodwood last summer, but he was going backwards, and he disappointed still, and we haven't seen him since. So the price is quoted about him for Charlie Johnson, get one ready, and I was pretty happy after a Line of Stars won for us last week. But I think he's got a lot to prove on what he's done, and the price that he's at versus the price of the George Bowie horse are completely wrong. And I think George Bowie's going to take a lot beating.
13-2 currently with Unibet. Sounds like a really decent price there. The guy's really strong on this horse in the three-year-old contest that opens the card at Musselburgh on ITV. There is one man who does like the favourite in here, and that's going to be Ed Nicholson. Let's hear what he had to say about the favourite for the open at Musselburgh.
Yes, the first race at Musselburgh is a particularly difficult race. A 0-95 three-year-old handicap. They're not the easiest at the best of times, certainly. At the beginning of the season, probably even harder to work out. All the two-year-olds becoming three-year-olds and starting off in their handicap life for many of them. My eye was taken to the Andrew Balding contender here, a Comic Hero, who has already had the benefit of a run 45 days ago. Won that race at Kempton, having been off the course for 223 days. Been gelded since his two-year-old career, and it was a fairly progressive two-year-old season for him. Andrew Balding coming up to Musselburgh more regularly these days. He's only ever had 20 runners there, and he had four at this meeting last year. He's only had one winner, so hopefully him and Ashim will be on the board straight away on Saturday with Comic Hero in the opening contest.
Moving on then to the 155 at Musselburgh. This is the 7 furlong Silver Arrow Handicap Class 2 event here up at Musselburgh, and Unibet are going to be best entry price on every runner from 12 o'clock on Saturdays. Do take advantage on that offer again, Unibet, for the terms and conditions there. This looks an ultra-competitive race with Midnight Gun topping the market at 5-2. Alarib is 13-2 along with Guidor and a War Eagle also 13-2. Goldboyne is 8-1. Persuasion is 8-1. Golden Mine 9-1. Double figures bar these. I'm quite sweet on Guidor here. Guys under Hitman Jason Hart, who absolutely loves these big handicaps. I love backing him in these big handicaps, to be honest. The horse has a great record there at Musselburgh. He was actually second in this race last year off a similar mark. I do think that the favourite is worth taking on. Obviously, a little bit short in a big field handicap like this for the Watnan team. But yeah, I think Guidor could run a massive race once again here at Musselburgh, of course, that he loves. Any similar opinion there for you, Robbie Wilders?
No, I'm with Ed. Midnight Gun. I think he's a I really fancy him. Fancy a lot this weekend, actually. Really fancy Midnight Gun. He just normally runs in better races than this. Like, he went off favourite for the Lincoln a year ago. Actually, he was sixth, wasn't beaten far, but he was up there racing into a headwind. Everything that far out the finish was held up. He's much the best of the prominent racers. That was an excellent effort. Another really good effort. Doncaster dropped back to 7 in October. Beaten a nose by Rogue Diplomat, ridden differently, didn't get the clearest run, haven't been held up. Rogue Diplomat almost won the Lincoln, obviously, the other day. And then he got sort of stuck in the mud in a Songkhla listed race. He's back in a handicap. Hamad El Jahani has had two first time out handicap winners recently off pretty high marks, sort of class angle in the handicap, sort of a bit like Midnight Gun in this one, really, because he normally runs in better races. I think he's got so much in his favour. I think James Dorby positive on him. Now we know, he can just be ridden whichever way you want, but we know he stays a mile, so be positive on him from the outset, and I think it will take a good bit of catching.
Okay, yeah, Robbie Wilders then with Midnight Gun in the 155. Johnny Pearson, for you in this race, who do you like?
I'm going to go against all of you, obviously, and if you're watching Doncaster last weekend, you noticed Richard Hannon had a couple of winners, and although he hasn't had loads of winners in the week, he's had a number of placed efforts, and he's also clearly in good form. And I've fallen on Al Arbeed. He was, last summer, okay, he was behind Amalok at Goodwood, and that form's worked out particularly well. Obviously, Amalok went and won at Royal Ascot. Noble Champion's been running well. Treble T's been running all right. Hawksbill's been running right, and that form's working out well. He's run at Southall after that, albeit under weather, of course. Was still a very good run back in October. There's good horses in there, the likes of Dividend, who's gone and won out in Maidan this winter. And that looks good. And then he had breaks since November when he disappointed a bit. He's come back at Kempton, ran all right, playing off the cobwebs last time. And I think he's got a great chance here in what it does look a very competitive race, but I think he looks far too big a price, all things considered.
Yeah, Al Arbeed then for the Hannon team. Yeah, the start of the turf season incredibly well. Looking to continue that again, once again, on a big Saturday on ITV. Let's move on to the 2:30 at Musselburgh, then, gents, the Goliath Cup Stakes. This is the listed contest on the card over a mile and 6 furlongs. And Al Kareem is our first odds-on favourite of the show at 5-4 on. Mount Atlas is 7-2. Many Men is 13-2. Roaring Legend also 13-2. Lady Vivian 12-1. And Kate O'Reilly 33-1. I mean, obviously Al Kareem, he's by far the best horse in the race. He is top class. He is just shy of that Group 1 company class for sure. But he isn't the kind of horse you want to get into a battle with, is he, Johnny Pearson?
No, he's obviously a very good horse. And in theory, he's going to take the beating here. But he's a 7-year-old, not getting any younger. He's had enough hard races. And is he going to be fully fit first time out? Maybe, maybe not. It's impossible to know, but I'd like to take him on with one that I think is a bit more up and coming. And that is Many Men for Jim Boyle, who, okay, he's last season, what, he was one, well, he's won enough, he's won two races, his second by a nose, he came fourth at Ascot in October, but wasn't beaten far ultimately. And his form, his body of form looks very good. Blinded by the Lights ran pretty well last weekend. Who he had form, who he beat at Ascot, which is not looking another piece of form. Yes, he went up in the handicap for his fourth place finish at Ascot in October, but I think there's enough upside to be backing a 4-year-old improving over a 7-year-old who we don't know if it's going to have that zest and enthusiasm first time out.
Okay, many men hopefully could give Johnny Pearson a few cent on Saturday. We'll have to wait and see. That was a dreadful pun. Apologies. Robbie,
no one's going to get the pun. Like, how many people listen to the show actually listen to 50 cent?
There we go.
I'd wager less than 2%.
We might find there are a few. So there we go. We'll just wait and see. Robbie, last week on the show, you weren't on, but I took a fair bit of stick for putting up Docklands first time up by saying that he's just the classiest horse in the race. You know, he's going to be ready for this contest. They wouldn't enter him here because they were going to run in Dubai, and he went and won as cosily as he liked and end off going off the price that I thought he would. I kind of have a similar thing with Al Karim here. I actually think he might actually end up going off shorter on Saturday. You might disagree with me, but I just think he's just the class angle.
Yeah, but I mean, your Docklands angle was, you know, 7-4, he should be short. I don't see how Al Karim gets any shorter than sort of 5-6.
Okay.
I don't really see it. I'm taking him on. I've had an each way bet the start of the week with Roaring Legend three places. Al Karim has been beat. He is the best horse in the race, but he's a horse who thrives on his racing. He's just busy. He runs every few weeks. Like, if he's going to get beaten against a horse he shouldn't, it's going to be first time out under a £5 penalty. And you've got a horse in here, Roaring Legend, who is hard fit from racing on the all-weather. His last three RPRs have been 109, 110, 111, just as good on turf. He's got a series of really big efforts in good staying handicaps off big weights. Don't think there's a big gap between a top-class handicapper and a listed winner in the staying division, a bit like the sprint division. I could just see his pan out favourably for him. He's a prominent racer. I think the hitman, Jason Hart, is going to be positive. Al Karim, he's going to have to be fit enough, I think, to give him £5 because Roaring Legend is just, he's on an upward curve and he's just hard fit. So I'm quite sweet on that for three places. He's still two places now. The each way element's gone. But I still think he represents fair enough value in the win market.
Okay, yeah, very fair. And one person who does share your opinion on Roaring Legend is also Ed Nixon. Let's hear what he had to say on the horse.
Yeah, the listed Goliath Stakes sees the return of Al Karim, who is such a good horse. 11 wins from 31 turf outings. But he hasn't won, as far as I can see, on his seasonal debuts before. And he's not raced at Musselburgh before. Even money or thereabouts, I think he's worth taking on. He obviously has bigger targets later on, not just in the next few months, but later on in the season to contend with. I like the look of Roaring Legend. Ollie Murphy doesn't have that many runners on the flats, obviously been going great guns over jumps. And Roaring Legend, who was with Hugo Palmer last year, in fact running the Group 3 Ormond Stakes at Chester, has had a couple of runs over the all-weather, over 2 miles plus for Ollie, finishing second on both occasions. But it's interesting they go up to Musselburgh for this contest and drop back down in trip. He will have that fitness advantage, having run just a few weeks ago the many of these. And I just felt that today might be the day to capture Roaring Legend. He would be a fair price as well. Jason Hart takes the ride. Jason Hart's one of the best jockeys at Musselburgh. I think my research showed that only 7 current jockeys has ridden more than his 54 winners there since the turn of the century. So Roaring Legend to go one better and make it another winner for Jason Hart and for Ollie Murphy.
The next race then is the 305 at Musselburgh again. Mile 6 furlongs here for the Queen's Cup Handicap. It's a class 3 event where Moon Over Miami is 4-1. Gentle Warrior 9-2. Dancing With Myself 11-2. Gambino 11-2. Wise Eagle 8-1. Bailey's Kelstar 9-1. Sporting Silver Mine is 10-1. 12-1. And bigger the rest. And we have got an extra place on offer with Unibet in this race here. Now, the one horse that I wanted to mention is Gambino. I actually took Constitution Hill on at Savile with this horse when he finished third. Since then, they've gone over hurdles with him, finished third behind another nice horse in Cocktail Blue, who looks like a really nice novice for the Chris Gordon yard. But the one person who does actually like Gambino is Ed Nicholson. So I'm going to start with him and get his selection now.
Well, yeah, it's been a fantastic season for Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton, hasn't it? The trainer winning over £4 million in prize money and well on to winning his first Trainers Championship over jumps. But he sends a horse up to Musselburgh to run on the flats on Saturday. Gambino, who used to be a flat performer for Noel Mead, has had one run for the Skeltons at Newbury over hurdles, but is returning back to the flat scene. In fact, he did run that Constitution Hill Novice Stakes at Southall finish a fair way behind the great horse, but that was a good performance. Was squeezed a little bit of room in the closing stages as well. Wouldn't have made a difference to the result, but he's obviously fit, raring to go. And I just thought it's very interesting that the Dan Skelton would go all the way up to Musselburgh for this horse on the flat. Dan's yet to have a winner at Musselburgh on the flat. He's had, I think, four winners in total over jumps. But Ross O'Ryan, who's also unbelievably not had a winner at Musselburgh, not ridden that often. I think he's had nine rides. But it could be a first for both Rosser and Dan. And indeed, Gambino could win for the Skeltons on the flat for the first time as well. Don't forget, we're offering extra place in this race. The Queen's Cup is always a well-contested handicap, and it'll be a difficult race to get the winner of. But I'm just going to take a chance with Gambino.
So Ed with Gambino in the Queen's Cup handicap. Johnny Pearson's already mentioned to me off air that he hasn't got a selection in this. It is a tough race. And remember, there are plenty of races on ITV. You don't have to have a bet in every race on the card. But Robbie Wilders, who did you like in the Queen's Cup?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Sam. Our absent friend is not the only one who likes Gambino, because I do as well. Agree with you. I mean, he's on the Constitution Hill run. It was obviously an unrealistic task. I think Constitution Hill is already proven he's probably group three level on the flat. He was given Constitution Hill £7 there, and it was his first run for Skelton, first in quite a while. Even the second square neck has got a bit of a reputation. I thought that was a pretty decent effort in the circumstances. And then I thought he was quite eye-catching at Newbury beyond that smart horse, Cocktail Blur, who was second in the Dovecot before that. I was thinking like maybe Skelton would have like a nice hurdle race in mind for him, but I guess he's not going to have a handicap mark. But on the flat, he does look well treated anyway. I mean, his final start for Noel Mead, he split Fleetfoot, who was running off 94 there, is now rated 108. And Put Your Hands Together, he went on to win the Irish Cesaro, which is rated £10 higher. So I think he's definitely on a good mark. The first time tongue tie goes on, that's interesting. If there was some sort of breathing thing, and if that could rectify that, that would be intriguing. Ross O'Ryan booked, eye-catching book, and I think he's better than 83. And the fact that Skelton sending them for a good flat handicap, the top rider board, just really intrigues me.
There you go. Yeah, Gambino then. There's a few joint opinions. I think Gambino's going to run a massive one as well in the Queen's Cup. So we'll take that as the hat-trick horse this week. And the final race we look at on the ITV card is the 3:42. This is the Scottish Sprint Cup handicap. Class 2 event over 5 furlongs. And of course, in a race like this, Unibet are going to be offering an extra place once again. And Against the Wind and Tropical Storm top the market at 5-1. Democracy Dilemma 11-2. Jerbat 6-1. Pilgrim and Eternal Sunshine, along with Cannon's House 10-1. 11-1. Vintage Clarets 12-1. Bar these. Last week, we had the first big mile handicap of the week. This is really the first big sprint handicap of the year, sorry. And Robbie Wilders, it's probably just as difficult, if not more difficult, than the Lincoln last week.
This is easy, mate.
Do you think?
One of my favourite horses runs here, Democracy Dilemma. He is so quick. 5 furlongs is probably too far for him. I don't think you'll find many quicker horses in training over 3 furlongs. He's rapid. He come in this race in good form. Thought that was a really good run in the Hever Stakes and his return in Lingfield. It's obviously dropping from a listed race into a handicap. The course record fell at Lingfield that day. The race Diligent Harry won. He set up for the closers. He still hung in there to finish third. I thought that was a really big effort. Handicap has dropped him £1 back in the handicap. I thought that was quite generous. He could just dominate this from the front, I think. I don't see why Musselburgh won't suit him. He's come back in good form. Ever since the visor's gone on, he's looked a different beast again. And he's only £6 higher than when winning a similar race at Haydock by almost 5 lengths from the front. RPL 114 there. I mean, his last run was his best RPL on middle weather by far. I think he's in a good place. And he'll get nervy in the last half. He'll definitely be in front well inside the final furlong. His last part of the race is always his weakest. He'll get nervy in that last half furlong, but I'm hoping he'll have enough in the tank to fend off the closers.
Okay, a Ross O'Ryan double for Robbie Wilders to close the card that we're looking at Musselburgh, Gambino and Democracy Dilemma there. Johnny Pearson, for you?
Yeah, we're also going to be going with Democracy Dilemma. You know, it's probably got the best piece of form in it. You know, that run at Haydock last year is a very good performance. His best performance on your weather last time. He should be fresh for this. Very much like his chances. The one sort of thing which, I mean, if to people that aren't that aware, the 5 furlong course at Musselburgh, you can end up with a big draw bias towards a stand side rail. And don't think he should be too badly hampered by that being drawn in stall six, but I wouldn't want to be drawn out away from the stands like Pilgrim, for example, in stall 14. I think that would be a big negative. But in six, he should be absolutely fine by my reckoning.
He's so quick, it doesn't matter where he's drawn. Like, he would just be able to get across. He is so fast.
Yeah. The Moxie dilemma then. Scrap the Hattrick horse, because Ed is also a big fan of this horse, and you've probably made a fair case between the two of you, but let's hear what Ed had to say on his selection.
Yeah, the sprint at 5 furlongs, always a good race. American Affair won this last year for Jim Goldie off a rating of just 94. Obviously, he went on for Group 1 success at Royal Ascot. I'm not sure there's anything lurking in this race that has ambitions to follow in the footsteps of American Affair, but I do like the look of good old Democracy Dilemma, who always seems to run well in these tight sprints. Came third on seasonal debut at Lingfield not long ago, led inside the final furlong. Tom Marquand rode in that day. He was petering out towards the end of the race and held on for third place, but that will put him spot on for today. Obviously, trainer is well averse at getting these sort of sprinters ready to run for particular targets. I'd imagine this would be his early season target, Democracy Dilemma. We are offering extra place in this race, and the horse will be around about 6-1, so does have a each way chance, but I'm going to back him win with Ross Orion on board.
So there we go, Gambino and Democracy Dilemma. Yeah, two sweet horses to end the podcast from the ITV card this week. Right, we are going to get other selections from across the world and also our best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Here we are then, the final part of this week's racing podcast. Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nicholson. Well, Ed is on his way to Haydock, but taking you through the ITV action this week. And we mentioned at the start that there is other action elsewhere, including Easter weekend. Obviously, we have Good Friday at Newcastle. We've got action from Ferry House and the Irish National on Monday as well, along with international racing. And the man to go to for our international coverage and opinions is Mr. Johnny Pearson. What have we got?
Well, it's a lot of good racing at Cork and Ferry House on Saturday, actually, as I mentioned. And in the 5-12 at Cork, it'd be interesting to see what sort of form we might take the long way comes back in for Joseph O'Brien. Obviously, ran in both the Epsom and the Irish Oaks last year and other good races, including one at Longchamp on Ark Weekend and behind Kalpana on Champions Day. And Ryan Moore's booked for the ride there, so it'd be interesting to see how she gets on. It's a lot of good action at Ferry House. I think Robbie's got a couple of fancies there, actually. But it's good race, Group 1s in Australia, 4 of those at Randwick. And my anti-post fancy for the Kentucky Derby runs in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland on Saturday night. That's further ado. If he does what I think, he doesn't need to win based on the point system you need to get into the Derby. But I'd like to see him go better than his second place finish that he had at Tampa Bay last time. And he should be able to win here. His price will shorten for the Derby. We're all going to go to the first weekend of May, very excited that he's going to get the job done for us. And it's something to look forward to.
There you go. One to look out for the Kentucky Derby from Johnny Pearson there. And Robbie Wilders, like I mentioned, we've got the Ferry House action and the Irish National. I'm not sure how much you've had a look. I know you're a busy man and there's plenty of racing over the weekend.
Plenty busy, but, boy. Clock's going forwards may help me out this week.
Yeah, there you go. Is there any horses from Ferry House or even an Irish National selection from yourself?
Yeah, I think Emmett Mullins is going to have a good weekend, Sam. I remember doing the big jump off at the start of the season. I was doing the novice hurdlers. I did a pull out on two of them, and they're both running over staying trips this weekend. The first is Vittoria PL for Emmett Mullins, running in the 3-mile novice handicap hurdle. That is at 4:25. Yeah, interesting horse. One is his debut in a Punchdown Festival bumper, really impressively. Been a little slow to come to hand, but showed quite a bit of class, I thought, in a 2-mile novice hurdle at Leopardstown. I thought the trip would be on the sharp side for him. He's from the family of Kent Boy, who won loads of grade ones over 3 miles plus. Back over 3 miles on some better ground won't hurt. I think he's on a good mark, and he's the pick of the Emmett Mullins for a jockey bookings. And I'm also on Soldier of Milan in the Irish Grand National. Another really impressive punch-down bumper winner for Emmett Mullins last season. Sent him straight over fences, doing what Woody Mullins did with Factor File. He's shown plenty of promise in it. It just seems to me, it strikes me that the whole campaign is geared around this race. Mullins sort of hinted in the story we ran earlier in the week. He's going to improve for a much longer trip. He's been running predominantly over 2.5 miles. Despite that showing plenty of quality, I think he's on a good mark. And if he stays, he's going to be there or thereabouts.
Okay, Vittoria PL, then that's the 4:25 on Saturday from Fairy House. And then the 5 o'clock on Monday, the Irish Grand National. That's going to be Soldier in Milan for Robbie Wilders. There we go. Let us know down in the comments who your fancies are this weekend as usual. Right, let's get the best bets for the weekend then, gents. And I'll tell you what, I'll kick things off. I'm going to go with Guido in the 155 at Musselburgh. Like I say, loves the course. Jason Hart's on board. Off the same marks he was last year when he finished second in this race. I think he'll go extremely well once again. Johnny Pearson, your nap, please.
We'll go with Willie the Builder in the first at Haydock, the 212.
Okay, Willie the Builder in the first at Haydock for Johnny Pearson. Robbie Wilders, please.
That won't win. I mean, Ed's taken the Unibet Veterans Final off me. I wanted Lord Baddersley, but I'll let Ed have his moment in the sun for his treasured race. I'm going to go for the fastest horse in Britain over 3 furlongs, Democracy Dilemma, in the Scottish Sprint Cup Handicap at 3:42 on Saturday at Musselburgh.
Democracy Dilemma for Robbie Wilders. If we were all sweet on that one there. And yeah, like Robbie's mentioned, Ed is going for one, the Unibet Middle Distance Veterans Handicap Chase. 3:20 at Haydock. Philandera is the one for Ed, for Huey Morrison and Johnny Burke. So there we go. Really nice, short, snappy show with plenty of action on ITV as usual. As I said at the start of the show, we're going to be back 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Top 5 bets for the Grand National meeting at Aintree. That's going to be running obviously Thursday through to Saturday. Really excited for that meeting. Always am. I think you get some excellent horses there and some top class racing. Until then though, big thanks to Johnny Pearson. Big thanks to Robbie Wilders. Big thanks to Ed for sending across some videos to ourselves. And we'll be back on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Enjoy the weekend. And as always, do remember to gamble responsibly.